This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
5 minutes past the hour here in our nation's capital. It's a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Hoffman Show right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps, the Youngest in Charge Mobile, and Al Willingham taking you up to 6:30. Before we dish things over to our coverage of Hoyas basketball, right now we go out to the guest hotline. This is where we find our pal Mitch Tischler here on a Tischler Tuesday right here on the Hoffman Show. He is one half of the Beltway Football Pod. Make sure you give Mitch a follow on the X app at Mitch_Tischler. That is T-I-S-C-H-L-E-R. Mitch, what's going on, my brother?
What's a good word, my friend? You're not Craig Hoffman.
I am not Craig Hoffman, but I am with you on a Tischler Tuesday. We got to keep the tradition going. I actually love listening to your hits with our pal Craig Hoffman. Big fella, I got to start with the stadium news that we heard earlier today. As someone that has grown up around this area, been a lifelong fan, for your money, where do you think this new Commander Stadium ultimately ends up?
Listen, I want the stadium back at RFK. I believe that it should be back at RFK. Today was very exciting as a first step towards making that thing happen, or the next step in terms of making that thing happen. I think there's two big questions that have to be asked right now. First of all, it has to pass, you know, the rest of the way, and the district has to get control of it. Secondly, Maryland has $400 million on the table ready for Josh Harris and company to spend on building a new stadium, to spend on the infrastructure around a new stadium. If RFK does happen and gets back into the city's hands, either A, do they have that money for Josh Harris, or B, is he willing to build a privately funded stadium? Because that's a pretty big second piece to this whole conversation. They've backed themselves up into a corner where they've made it very clear to Commanders fans and the public that they want that RFK site. I think that's a fantastic situation. I love that they're holding out and hoping that they can make RFK happen. But just because it gets back, just because the land gets back into the city's hands, isn't a guarantee that there's going to be a new football stadium there, because $400 million is a lot of money. And for a guy who just spent, you know, better part of $7 billion on a football team, you know, he's probably going to want some of that public money to help out the funding. So I want it to be at RFK. In my heart of hearts, I believe in Josh Harris. I believe in the city that they're going to be able to find a way to get it done. But there's still some pretty big hurdles that have to get figured out before we get to that point.
You're right, Mitch. And you hit on the key thing here. He's got to have the opportunity to put money down for a new stadium. D.C. is not a sure thing right now based off of what happened earlier today. As you mentioned, they still got to get this thing on the Senate floor, and then that becomes a whole another different set of worms. But this is the interesting thing to me, and I'm just now becoming privy to this information. The Josh Harris ownership group, and I know the dealings with the Sixers are different in terms of who exactly is involved, but they're publicly funding, or excuse me, they're paying for the Sixers' new $1.3 billion stadium project in its entirety without any public funding. How much do you think that impacts this?
I don't believe that should impact that much at all. They're two separate companies, two separate entities, but I do think you have to see the frustration that has been caused in Philadelphia, the consternation that's been caused in Philadelphia over Josh Harris trying to, you know, move that 76ers stadium. Essentially, the Sixers, the Flyers, the Phillies, and the Eagles all play in one stadium complex, one area in South Philadelphia. And I, for one, think it's pretty cool that all the teams in the city play in that same area. Fans know hey, when I want to go see a game, you know, same parking lot, same restaurant, same, activation, same concert venues, all that stuff, all in one place. You know exactly where you're going. He's wanting to move it from there to downtown Philadelphia, to the Chinatown area. And I know just from, we were just in Philadelphia, a week ago, for that Eagles game. A lot of folks aren't particularly pleased with Josh Harris right now up in Philadelphia. And certainly part of it is owning the Commanders and, you know, supporting another team city. We know how crazy Philly fans are about there. But the other part of it is moving that stadium. And you hope that he learned something big from those doings and is able to apply those learnings to here in Washington as he figures out the new spot for the Commanders.
Well, Mitch, I don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed to put two things together here. The Sixers are footing the entirety of that bill because the taxpayers would have looked at them sideways. If you said, wait, you're moving it out of the place we want it and we got to pay for it. So I think that kind of answers that question a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how him and his 21 limited partners foot this bill. I happen to lean Maryland as well because I think that jurisdiction is in a better position to publicly fund something if that's going to be the case compared to D.C. Mitch, enough of the stadium talk, though. It drives me insane. I know it's something people care about. I know it's something people care about, but I want to move on to the football portion of things. Yesterday, Dan Quinn took the podium and opened up the presser by saying Jaden Daniels is not hurt now. Do you buy what the head coach is selling?
I mean, I think you have to. I guess we've seen the last couple weeks what that offense has looked like and what Jaden's looked like trying to throw the football, and I think we can all agree that he probably wasn't 100% healthy, and I think part of the offensive struggles have been a combination of Jaden not being healthy, thus Cliff Kingsbury trying to protect him a little bit and not calling as dynamic of an offense where maybe Jaden would be put in these situations where where he could get hurt. But, you know, these are two very winnable football games. And, I'm not ready to say that the offense is a problem or that it needs to be fixed or that Cliff needs to continue to evolve or that Jaden isn't, that guy. But we've seen Dallas give up 30-plus points in four of their last five games and, look like a defense that can easily be beat. You know, I kind of look at these Cowboys and, offensively, this boils it down pretty basically, but offensively, don't let CeeDee Lamb beat you deep. Yeah. And defensively, don't let Micah Parsons wreck the game. Yeah. And if you're able to do those two things, it's hard for me to think that Washington's not going to come out of Sunday with a victory.
I agree 100% with you. And then watching them last night, I mean, they tried to put up a fight with Houston in that first half, but then the Texans kind of ran away with that thing in the third quarter. But you're right. I mean, Sunday is a game – perfect for an offense that's struggling and the ability to get back on schedule, so to speak. But when you look big picture, Mitch, at some of the issues Washington is having offensively, how much do you chalk it up to playing two really good defenses in Philly and Pittsburgh versus this group just struggling right now?
I mean, they did have a double-digit lead on Pittsburgh in the second half and put up 27 points on them. Listen, you can go back to the Baltimore game and look at it. No Brian Robinson. Same thing with the Pittsburgh game. Philly was on a short week against a beat up rookie QB. I think that you can point to each loss, and there are legitimate reasons behind the offense not being the juggernaut that it was earlier in the season. And I think you can look pretty much directly at that Carolina game.
Yeah.
They put up 40 points after that. The offense hasn't looked as crisp and as clean, and obviously that Carolina game is when, Jaden hurt that rib. So I think that, as much as you have to be frustrated with some of the things that are happening offensively, you have to appreciate that the defense has stepped up
and
played very well over the last couple of weeks. And yes, they gave up four touchdowns to Pittsburgh. Yes, they gave up 26 points to Philly. But even in those games, I think you can point to some specific things that front seven or that secondary did very well. And if you hope the offense is going to come back around to where it was and the defense continues to play at this level, you have to be very confident about what this team can do come playoff time.
Mitch, what you just did, my friend, is an early nominee for Segway of the Week. Because I was going to ask you about the defense next. As crazy as we are feeling right now about what the offense has done over the past two games, defensively, I'm super impressed. They held Philadelphia to 3 points in the first half. If I would have told you that going in to Thursday's contest, you'd say that's a part of the recipe for a victory. When you look at the defense in particular, what to you has been the most impressive thing about that group over the last two games here?
Not only the last two games, but just as the season has progressed.
Yes.
It's been the plan and the execution of what Joe Witt Jr. wants to do with this defense. Because you can look back even earlier in the season when they did give up a lot of points, players were in position to get interceptions, to pick off balls, to, you know, get PBUs, whatever, you know, stat you want to use. Mm-hmm. And I just think that you could recognize that the guys were kind of where they're supposed to be. They just maybe don't have quite the talent level to execute and create turnovers the way that this defensive staff wants you to. But to me, the most encouraging thing has just been the defensive plan. You know, we've seen week after week, they come out and you think that they're going to get, you know, run points are going to be run up on them. But, you know, outside of really Baltimore and Cincinnati and week one against Tampa, which I'm kind of just willing to gloss over as it being, you know, the first week, this defense hasn't given up big time points to anybody. And particularly against Philadelphia, 3 points in the first half is impressive. You know, haters will say they missed two field goals and they had a long drive. At the end of the day, the points are what they are on the scoreboard. And they did a really good job all game of keeping Saquon Barkley in check until, you know, the final, whatever it was, 8 minutes when they scored, when they had two 30-yard touchdown runs in 30 seconds, you know, kind of back-to-back almost. So I've been super impressed with kind of the plan as a general, you know, kind of big picture thing. And then as you zero in on the safety duo of Jeremy Chinn and Quan Martin, I've been very impressed by the two of them. Chinn has made a ton of big, big plays. He's an awesome, he's an awesome factor in the run game. And Quan Martin has been quietly very solid on the back end. And I love plays like last week against Philly when Dallas Goedert's running down the field and Quan, you know, punches it out from behind and they get, you know, they put the ball, they force a fumble. They don't necessarily recover it,
right. But
they force the fumble. The defense has been awesome and impressive and fun to watch. And quite frankly, you know, I think all of us include the fan base, the media around the team, all of your analytics people, everyone who said that this defense was going to stink and hand up. I was one of them that I was very concerned about. That hasn't been the case.
You're right. They have been a pleasant surprise, especially here over the last 6 or 7 weeks. We've seen that group turn a corner. The one theme, I guess, Mitch, that I have noticed with the Commanders offense that has been kind of troubling is when they go up against stout running defenses or stout defenses in general, Mitch, it feels like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it feels like to me the patience of Cliff Kingsbury with the run game gets a little bit more thin. I go back to Thursday night. The final box score lists Brian Robinson as averaging 4 yards a pop. Obviously, the 18-yard run helps the average. But does it feel like in the Baltimore game, the Pittsburgh game, the tail end of the Chicago game where he was hurt, and then against Philadelphia on Thursday, that there kind of is a lack of patience with the running game? I feel like if you're going to really be a team committed to running it, Mitch, you can't let a no gain or a 1 yard gain discourage you from running it. It's about those rushing attempts in the final minutes of the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's certainly something to be concerned about. I mean, you point to Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and those are games without Brian Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been talking about on the Beltway Football Podcast a fair amount that, you know, Brian Robinson is a good running back in the NFL. He's a very good player. No one's trying to take anything away from him. But he's not, you know, prime Adrian Peterson or prime Emmitt Smith or Christian McCaffrey, a guy who should be at, there should be as big of a drop off. There shouldn't be as big of a drop off between when he's running the football and the other running backs on this team are. And yet that's the world that we live in because you have the two games against Pittsburgh and Baltimore that he didn't play in where the team ran for, you know, 50 and 60 yards as a whole. Whereas they average $150 on the ground,
right.
You know, in games that he plays, actually probably $160 on the ground. In games that he plays. And that's not all his running. But I do think that Brian Robinson being limited or not playing also has an effect on Jaden Daniels in the run game and teams having to respect the run, you know, between the tackles, which is what Brian Robinson does very well. And when you don't have a threat in between the tackles, teams can line up on the outside with their speed, not let Jaden beat them to the outside. And then also that hurts the passing game as well, because you don't have the threat of Jaden and his legs. You can go with more dime coverages. You can do it with more, you know, with more extra DBs and safeties on the field, because you're not concerned about stuff being run up the middle. So the biggest concern that I've had with this offense is what it's looked like without Brian Robinson. Forget the Jaden Daniels injury.
Right.
It's this offense comes to a real grinding halt when Brian Robinson isn't in there, and that's an issue.
Yes, it is, my friend. Mitch, I'll let you go on this, pal. So I believe it's, what, 6 games left to go? What is the magic number that you think Washington's got to get to make the postseason?
To make the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to go probably they can probably get in at 3-3, I would guess. But let's look at it this way. Mm-hmm. When the Commanders and Eagles play December 22nd, the Commanders have 3 games between now and then. Cowboys, Titans, Saints. I'm not saying they will be, but they should be favored in all 3 of those games. They could easily walk into that December 22nd matchup at 10-4. The Eagles are 8-2. They have 4 games before that Commanders game on December 22nd. At Rams, at Ravens, versus the Panthers, versus the Steelers.
Brutal.
If they go 2-2 in that run, you're looking at both teams being 10-4, both teams vying for the same thing that they were vying for on Thursday when they played. And that's, you know, the Eagles could easily go 1-3 in that group as well and end up sitting there at 9-5, and the Commanders could be 10-4. The point being, the Eagles are up 1.5 in the division, 2 games in the loss column versus the Commanders, but the Eagles have a much, much tougher schedule the rest of the way, and I'm excited about kind of playing each week, because each week is very important. But you look at that end of December game, that right before Christmas game against the Eagles, that might be an early Christmas present, because that could be a lot of fun at Northwest Stadium.
It's going to be a good old-fashioned slobber knocker, Mitch Tisler. I appreciate you giving us some time, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, anytime, Lino. Great talking to you. Love having you on.
Appreciate you, my man. That is Mitch Tisler. Make sure you all check out the Beltway Football Pod wherever you download your podcast. Check him out on the Monumental Sports Network as well. And make sure you give Mitch a follow at Mitch_Tischler. So Mitch brings up an interesting point here. This Commander's offense has come to a screeching halt without Brian Robinson into the lineup. But over the past two games, this offense, to me, has sputtered. And my level of concern is higher than it should be as we continue to move throughout the final 6 games of the season. What's got to improve for this offense to take a step forward? I think there's a couple of different things here. That's the one frustrating part when we discuss this Washington offense, is I'd be hard-pressed to say it's just one thing that's causing this group to sputter. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll give you my level of concern out of 10 for the Commander's offense. Plus, I'll tell you, from my vantage point, the biggest reason the Commanders are struggling right now offensively, if I had to sum it up to one thing. That's next here on the Team 980.